Ready.
Let's roll.
Ha ha!
Ding, ding, ding.
So, what are we doing again?
World War Z and then you.
Okie dokie.
Oh.
Hi, we are
Peter,
Jenny,
and Jamie
from
Strange Fruit.
And you're listening to Comic Pop Library.
Welcome to another episode of Comic Pop Library. I'm Richard, along with
Chris,
Matt,
April,
Logan.
And in this episode, we are going to be reviewing the motion picture World War Z, continuation from our last regular episode. And then the second part will be the album from Girls' Generation, I Got a Boy. But we'll start with Matt and World War Z.
I'm supposed to follow up, I Got a Boy. I don't know, Richard. Okay. World War Z, the movie, which pretty much stars Brad Pitt. Yeah. He's the
main biggie.
He's the main biggie and probably the only big actor, I think, in the movie.
His wife is kind of big. She was in The Killing.
The Killing. But I can't remember her name off the top of my head.
So she's like semi-big.
But if you have listened to the previous review and about the book, and if you haven't, go back and listen to it first because this will make a lot more sense later on. The movie is really loosely based on the book. The book is kind of a, if you listen to the review,
like
how we
the only thing
it.
They had in common was the title.
No, not that bad, because there are things in the book
like
that
iRobot.
they pull across into the movie. The movie really, to me, it's not the typical zombie movie. Every other zombie movie, you kind of get thrown into, oh, there's something mysterious happened. Oh, there's zombies. Okay, this is why the zombies were created. Let's kill the zombies and we escape. Not this movie.
You know what fascinates me? Describe a zombie in this movie, because it's different from any other zombie movie
and
that I've seen.
I was going to go
ahead.
That.
That's fine.
The movie starts out with Brad Pitt, who is a
UN investigator.
Yeah, a UN investigator.
Oh, we actually know who the investigator is in this one.
Yes.
They don't say what he is in charge of investigating, though.
He used to be in charge of investigating nothing. He had retired.
Probably Angelina Jolie.
He had retired, so he was investigating.
Oh, my gosh.
And I believe his wife worked at the UN, too.
She did?
Really? I don't think so.
I think in the movie they said, because she knew a lot of the people, too. I don't remember.
Oh. I don't know.
But they are basically the movie starts out them getting their family ready to go to work and drop their kids off at school. A few minutes of that happens. They get in the car and they're driving through basically rush hour to get to wherever they were going. And there's a few spots in the movie that'll make you jump. And this was one that made me go, holy crap.
You know what made me go, holy
crap? In the car.
Seeing the trailer for Sleeping Beauty.
What?
Speaking of Angelina Jolie. Okay, go ahead.
Oh, man, you talk about left field.
You know,
home run.
But they're sitting in the car and they're talking with their children, and I believe they forgot an inhaler for one of their daughters.
Yeah, but you don't figure that out till later when she's having her.
Well, they talked about needing something, and I think it was an inhaler.
That plays a little bit later on in the
movie. That scene in the grocery store was funny.
We'll get into that in a minute. We're gonna get into that. And they were talking about that, and that they didn't have time to go get it, this and that. And they're sitting there talking, and all of a sudden, I think it's a trash truck.
Well,
they're in a traffic jam.
The first thing to blow by them is a police officer.
Oh, the first thing that blew by them was a police officer. And somebody opens the door.
Like a strong wind, or they were going fast towards
the police officer just crashed like into his mirror.
Yeah. When he just took off the mirror.
But I thought the cop crashed into something.
Oh, no, that's the second one, and that thing crashed into
so
him.
He goes okay. through here. Sorry. Are we having to tell you?
We just watched this last night.
Okay. Yeah, I hadn't seen it in a while, so.
We know what happened.
I remember that. It was the mirror that he took off, and he kind of says something about it, looks at it, sees commotion behind him, gets back in the car, basically tells everybody, don't worry about it.
Because the cop came up to the window and was like, get your ass into that car.
Go move now.
Get out of here. Before the cop could go on, boom.
Literally, that was when I started to like this movie, because I'm like, this is going to be good.
Oh, well, that's when all, for lack of a better word, hell breaks loose.
Yeah. Okay, now the driver or zombie.
Well, this is where he sees the first zombies coming. And he basically, they almost look human. They're not
color,
like,
consistency.
Yeah, they're not. They're
no
not
blood.
Eyes.
Well,
they're
depends.
Not pale. Their eyes kind of get like glazed
like
over.
Partial amputations.
You don't really see any of that.
Not really.
It depends.
In the movie.
Okay. Yeah.
But they are fast.
Yep.
And
fast.
I mean, like, cheetah fast.
I like these
like
guys.
Like Jamaican strong. Olympian.
They're also strong.
Fast.
Yes, very fast, yeah. Very strong. And he basically grabs all the family to take off running when he sees this. But he sees someone get bitten, okay? And he starts.
You skipped a bit.
Counting.
That's
I know.
All right, we got to.
I don't want to ruin. I don't want to review. I don't want to review everything and give away all the movie.
I want a second-by-second review. Okay.
He basically sees somebody get bitten, and he starts counting. And he sees that it takes them 10 seconds.
12.
That was so fast. It was like a cobra.
Did I just say basically 10 seconds? Did I say exactly 10?
That's not 12.
I said basically 10
That's
seconds.
That's still not 12, bro.
For someone to change into a zombie. Now, who's reviewing this?
12.
Okay.
I said basically 10 seconds.
Let's let Matt go.
They escape from those zombies and all panic is breaking loose. And of course,
right.
I don't want to ruin everything that happens so that you'll watch the movie and won't be going, I already know what's going to happen. There is a scene, they go, basically they're preparing
he said
for the
basically
war.
Again. So
they're basically preparing for the, to get held up, to hold up somewhere. And they're looking for food, groceries.
They get on a boat.
And yeah, that's a little bit later.
Yeah.
Yeah, sorry.
Food,
groceries,
and medicine for his daughter, which is, I think is the inhaler.
Yeah.
And there's a funny kind of thing that happens in the grocery store, but I don't want to ruin that either because I want you to watch it because there is a little bit of comedy in the movie.
That was funny.
And I want to say the comedy parts of it are to kind of relieve some of the tension that's built from what's going
that
on.
That was the only part I saw comedy in.
Oh no! Later on, when I'll describe
okay,
that part
you,
after the plane
get,
crash,
you'll get there.
After
okay,
the plane crash,
you'll get there.
That.
I know you get there.
But like I said, this is a lot of what differs. Nobody can hear me. I can only talk. I'm not even sure who the guy he called was. I guess it was a UN friend,
the secretary of the UN,
something like that, something and like said, that. "Hey, we're stuck here. Please come rescue us."
That'd be nice.
He had called them beforehand, so
yeah, he kind of wanted to know what was going on. And he said he couldn't really tell them. He basically there's a fight that happens with a bunch of zombies. They get held up in an apartment with somebody else. There's a fight that happens. This is where Brad Pitt gets the idea, his character, which is I didn't even see what his
do the zombies fight each other.
No.
Oh, okay.
That's his one character of those name where is Gary Lane.
Yeah, because okay, it's spelled G-E-R-R-Y.
That's kind of funny. You okay. Kids out there, if you're looking for a job, go into bio-nuclear.
Bioengineering.
All this type of stuff, you might be rescued.
Yeah, you
if
might
you're
be.
One
yeah.
of us that
you
just
might also
do a regular
the
job, you're lost.
Yeah, you're screwed. Well, and that was one of the things that made me to allude that he had a little bit of background as to the investigation and figuring things out because they wanted him. And that's why he got rescued.
I'm confused on...
You know... Never mind, go ahead.
Which they basically take him from a helicopter to a ship. When they're on the ship, he basically says, hey, we're sending you here where we know an outbreak happened. It's a
who,
military...
Wait a minute, who?
The Secretary of the UN.
They sent him with that doctor.
Right. Yeah. Who was trained to figure out how to combat the zombies. How it started and to come up with a cure.
That was funny. I laughed at that one. He did.
You gotta laugh at the pardon the French, but the dumbass scientist. Because the UN guy tells him, hey, you're going with him to help him figure this out.
Like,
or
a bodyguard.
We're kicking
kind of
you
thing.
Off the boat.
Okay, I have a question now. Zombies usually do kill for food occasionally, but in a lot of the zombie movies that I've seen, it's more of a spreading, gaining more numbers, spreading the whatever happens to be in the contagion.
That kind
of so did they kill? They killed the scientist instead of turning him to zombie.
No, they had nothing to do with killing the scientist.
But the scientist is he's a really young, you know, probably early 20s.
22.
I think they said
fresh
he was like
out
22.
Of Harvard.
You know, fresh out of school, no whatsoever real world experience. They land the airplane on this. Basically, what they can tell, deserted military base over in
Korea.
Is it Korea?
Yep.
I was going to say it was Europe, but yeah, Korea's right. Because then they go to
Europe's the last one.
He's there, and everybody gets out of the airplane, and of course they hear the zombies. And the guy pulls his gun. It's raining. And nighttime, dark. One of the guys gets attacked by a zombie. And the young scientist, being the smart person he is, goes running back into the airplane and trips. Bang!
It's all so fast. And you just...
It happens like that. And Brad Pitt just looks at the guy.
Turns around.
And goes, oh my God. You know, he doesn't say anything. He's just going... And the same thought goes through everybody's head, and you can see it on Brad Pitt's face going, you dumbass.
It's so funny.
So for those who can't see Matt doing the thing, he is shaking his head back.
It happens so fast. All of a sudden, I'm laughing my butt off. Well,
I thought it was funny, too, because I was saying the same thing all the characters on the movie screen expression said was...
That's so stupid.
And it was just after him getting to make a little nice
speech. So my guess is...
True, he did a good, cool speech about Mother Earth being a serial killer.
Yeah.
Well, see, I kind of tore the story away from me, but I got back into it pretty soon. But I was like, man, I was getting all into that storyline.
Ask your question, Chris. Ask your question.
So the writers couldn't figure out how to make the scientist part of the story at that point, and they just said, he's going to do something stupid.
There's a little bit with the character, Brad Pitt's character, and him talking that of how to figure out where the pathogen has come
and
from
you
and
have,
how to combat it.
And you have
the
to
chink in the armor.
You have to give him a reason to go to get off the ship,
you,
too.
And you have to give Brad Pitt a reason to try and figure out what's going on.
Mm-hmm.
And without ruining the story as to what happens, I don't want to ruin what happened there because that gives you a lot more detail of why he's traveling around after that.
You know what?
From that point...
Just don't tell us what happens at the end, because I'm tired of hearing I don't want to ruin it for you.
I don't. I want to make you watch your movie. But they do end up, like, what's similar, you know, and like we were saying, some of the similarities between what happens of the stories in the book and what happens in the movie. They go to Jerusalem. There is the wall. They are letting people in. They make too much noise, and the commercial...
That was funny, too. That was
bad.
Funny.
Bad celebration.
That was
Shut
so
up.
Funny.
The zombies start climbing the wall.
Because
they hear people in the trailer. The wall,
which is in the trailer.
Remember that happening in the book. I don't remember them overrunning the
wall. They never said they did. But this is how... But in the movie, this is how it progresses him to escape. There is a scene which... was disturbing to me at the same time, kind of going creative, and that was when he was with the girl who I think is a sergeant or lieutenant. That was assigned to protect him. They get basically attacked by a bunch of zombies. They're killing them. She gets bit on the hand, and of course she instantly panics. He grabs a machete, cuts her hand off, starts wrapping her hand up, and he starts counting, which is what he used from before, and that's why I mentioned it. She... No, the hand never moves. And of course she's freaking out that she's going to change into a zombie, this and that.
But she doesn't.
And he basically, after he gets to 12. I think, he stops counting.
He stopped at 8.
Did he stop at 8?
He did, because I was paying attention to that part.
Huh.
And see...
Now, why that part, not any other part of the movie?
I don't know. I just like... Well,
let me back up a little bit and explain a little bit more. When he was in the military base in Korea, they said one of the guys there had gotten bitten. And he basically asked how long it took him to turn, and they said several minutes.
Dude, that was so creepy. When they went into that place, there was all the ash and stuff.
And the zombie hand
and
was
there was
moving.
His hand that was like...
Still moving. Zombie was still moving. It's freaky.
It was so good.
It was just
so
on
good.
The hand. Not that one, but the one before.
He escapes... Jerusalem on a plane that, again, you're going, really? Zombies? Hear a noise? Let me go and investigate.
And that's when you turn around.
And the plane basically has a zombie on it who
I have a question. Who is piloting each one of these planes?
Pilots.
First it was...
It was a military aircraft. the first one they landed on was a military aircraft, and the guy took off as soon as he saw the zombies leaving them Brad there, Pitt stranded behind. There.
And
he basically got on a commuter plane just by luck.
Like an airline.
An airliner, like a 747.
But all that these plane people had on a flash it. Of insight and got to a call to make sure they were going somewhere.
The funniest part about that was on the plane, he was taking care of the chick's stump, you know?
Yeah, it is now.
Well, I didn't know hand. So he's and there's.
I was putting a hook on the wrist.
That was pretty good, Chris.
Anyway, so he's taking care of it, and there's this guy sitting beside her, just chilling, just looking out the window, like whatever.
Yeah, no big deal.
They're just chilling.
You know, I don't know if some of that was written into for the comic relief.
I don't know, but it was beautiful to me. Like, oh, that was just so funny.
And I think it's in the trailers too. The plane crash.
Oh, they show the plane with the
yeah. Those
canopy
pilots
gone.
Died.
Yeah, and well, basically him and the lieutenant survived that.
And I hate how it's
and
this.
And they make their way to a.
And if you're wondering,
to the nearby
this one will have to get a little bit away. You know, the zombie wasn't on the plane. He basically, to me, the way I interpreted it, he's like they were taking off and he probably got on the landing gear
and made his way up
and
through.
And made his way up through. And the
stewardess opened the door.
Did the call button for that little elevator to bring up the food. And then
brought up the zombie.
Do they do a lot of jack-in-the-box sort of creeps?
No, not really.
Where something all of a sudden just bounces out, Jeff.
There's some.
I didn't really
and that's why I said,
jump at all.
You got to pay attention to the movie because there's things that he notices that help kind of give away his plan. And I'm not going to give away his plan as
I hate
to the
how
combat
it's
of the
always
war.
The stupidest things that sets off the zombie attacks. Like the plan one was they were stacking up suitcases on that little curtain thing to stop.
Like from first class to regular class.
And
being somebody really quiet.
Yeah, because their noise attracts them. So they were putting it up, and there's this guy with glasses, little four eyes, just putting up his little suitcase and just threw it onto the other side, like, whatever. And it made a noise.
Well, that's the thing. When they get to the, what is it, like a, it's a research lab. What do you call those?
It's
to do with biological
it was
research.
It's the WHO facility.
No. That's not the best thing.
That's not the only WHO reference. Go ahead, April.
That one of the doctors from the WHO facility is Peter Capaldi. No, wait, that's not even the best part. We were watching the extras, and Peter Capaldi was in one of the frames. Not very long, but he was in there talking. And it said, Peter Capaldi, WHO doctor. And I was just like, oh, God.
And of course, for all of you that don't know, he's the current doctor.
Because I didn't know he was in this. So I was like, when I first saw him, I was like, oh my
but,
God.
But this is where one of the comedy, I guess, relief things come in that I thought was hilarious. They're trying to go through this facility to find drugs to combat the zombie apocalypse. And kind of smart, they wrap their arms and legs with like magazines so that the zombies will bite that instead of biting them. And the guy, he has a baseball bat in one hand and an axe in the other. And he's holding them both up, looking at him. He goes, well, each one has its advantages. And they kind of look at him. One of them takes the axe. The other one takes a baseball bat. Hands him a gun. Says, last resort. And as they're opening the door, he goes, try not to kill any. It makes the others mad.
Good old bar.
So,
okay.
Wait, what kills these zombies? Because it sounds like...
It's the headshot.
It's the headshot. It's like any other. And they determine in the movie, they again, it's like the book. And this is kind of where the book and the movie similarities. They never tell you where it begins.
Because
they never tell you
thing.
You know, where it begins or what it was.
They just drop you in the middle
they
of
do.
It.
They do. It's kind of like, you know, the book had kind of a beginning and then the war. This is like the beginning of the war in the book.
And it doesn't...
It show the infection progressing.
Yeah, you know, that's why I said, like, when you get into, like, the Resident Evil, and Resident Evil 2 and all those, it shows you the progression of the disease. This one just, it's there already. It's just there.
I liked it when... they were somewhere and that captain was still alive and they were going along the fence on bikes.
Oh, that's when they were trying to get away in the...
Motorcycles, bicycles.
Not motorcycles. Bicycles.
They call them motorcycles bikes. I don't know why, but they do.
Motorcycles. bicycles?
They're actually on bicycles.
But yeah, because they were trying to figure out what's the quietest way to...
The quietest and quickest.
Quietest and quickest without not walking is, you know, bicycles. Germany.
Korea.
No, Korea. I'm just talking about bicycles in general.
Oh. But yeah, they were in Korea when they tried to do that.
It's perfect time to do a Freddie Mercury reference.
Which is...
I want to ride my bicycle.
But there was a little bit of comedy in that one, too. I mean, there's a little bit of comic
relief
in some of it.
It's kind of ridiculous. It's just like, but you can see how, at the same time, you can see the practicality of it, too.
Right.
Can
I just but you got to remember that, and this is one of those things, you know, in most zombie movies, the noise, you know, sets the zombies off. Mm-hmm. These you don't want to set off because of how fast they move.
They're little. Yeah.
And, I mean, it's scary fast. And to think of a zombie being this way, we think of every zombie.
So they're the adrenaline.
Yeah. You don't see. You know, you think of normal zombie movies, they're all, and they're just kind of
You don't
around.
See that till the very end. And that's only because they're dormant.
That hurt.
Waiting.
Ears.
Yeah, that's kind of a.
They're bleeding.
Ruining it. But it doesn't really say. At the end of the movie, it doesn't really... It kind of ends like the book. It's kind of
it's
over,
open.
But they don't really say it's over.
So it's still an open book.
Well, they left her out in the middle of the war.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It went from a slightly overpowered zombie versus human to zombies getting wholesale slaughtered.
But they kind of put some similarities of the book in there, that there were pockets of humans that they were helping rescue with to help. I don't want to give away what they used to fight the zombies.
Yeah.
But what they were using to help fight the zombies. I want you to watch the movie.
That's the title of this podcast. I don't want to
give it
away.
I can't. I don't want to. I like the movie.
I thought it was good.
Plenty of action. Enough suspense and drama in the movie to make it good.
Mm-hmm. Can I mention his last distraction?
Do they show dismemberment?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. He just slices that puppy off.
There's not a whole lot of blood.
I guess I'm passing
the distraction with the pop. Do you remember?
The distraction?
With the pop.
He takes a pop out of the thing, drinks it.
A K-pop?
Sets it off. No, Pepsi, C-pop. I think.
I got you right there.
Oh.
Looks like Pepsi, and he just triggers the mechanism to
start,
run it all down.
So the zombies are after that.
As long as it's not J-pop.
I'm foreshadowing, sorry.
We have our own conversation. It's a lot cooler than yours.
Like I said, to me, I liked the movie. There was action, there was drama, there was, you know, suspense.
I thought it was good.
To me, I don't classify this as a horror.
I don't either.
It's a thriller?
Kind of an action thriller.
Yeah, action thriller is what I classify it as.
Adventure!
Because there's not really any of that scary, other than, you know, some of the zombies, it's more of an action.
And a lot of it's in daylight.
Yeah, it is. The only time it's really dark is at the Korea, at the airbase.
I think
in Korea.
My favorite part was when they were in Israel, and they had already, that wall was so cool.
It was huge.
Because, you know how in some movies, the zombies, they hit really hard and they kind of falter. These just got right up, kept going. But I like you kind of really felt the mass of everything when they were in those cord, like really tight spaces, and they just raining down on them, nowhere to go. It's like, what?
Yeah, it's very intense. It's very intense in spots, and I mean, I think it was rated
staring
R.
At your fish there.
Let me see here.
That my fish are actually behaving like they've never done before.
It was a popular movie, and I think every pretty much every library.
I went in left field earlier. I want to go in the right field now.
If you want to watch this, the actual rating was PG-13.
Oh, was it?
But the Blu-ray copy has an unrated version, which.
Speaking of that, did the industry lower their standards for what is considered PG-13 these days?
No, I would consider this PG-13 because there's not a lot of violence. There's not a lot of language.
But there's blood and dismemberment.
Not a whole lot of blood.
No.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know what
they go by amounts and usage and everything like that.
I see PG-13.
Seems
there.
Like only sex determines the rated R movies nowadays.
The goriness.
You can use the F-word, I think, once, and if you use it twice, that kicks it to an R, no matter what the movie's about. Huh. There might be nothing else in there but those
two
words.
Disney, get on that.
But because you use it twice, you can kick it to an R.
Let's go Disney.
That is...
So there's standards that they go by.
A lot of poltergeist-like movies. Mama, that one was... gross at all, but it was PG-13. There's some of the newer ones. I actually think Prometheus was PG-13.
That's weird.
Well, a lot of it is, yeah, especially with the horror type stuff. They don't have red blood. They use black and stuff like that. Yeah. Which
blacker. Hershey's chocolate syrup.
Right, so, you know, if you show the red blood, that kicks it up, and the amount that you show kicks it up to an R. So, because the only really bloody part was when her hand was cut off. Mm-hmm. The others had a little bit of bloody, but they didn't key on it, and it was so fast, and the camera movement was so fast.
Well, I think that's one of the things, too, that made it interesting was it wasn't, here's everybody, here's the scene that happened. It was zip, with the camera when stuff was going.
It was fast paced.
Here's the reason why I say this is because my son was telling us one day that he was going to go watch a movie at a friend's house. And we're like, well, what's the rating? And he said, well, I think it's PG-13. We just didn't think anything of it because he's 12. And he comes back home and says, oh, we watched World War Z, and kind of freaked out.
I could, you know what? I could see, you know, it does say parental guidance.
There were adults there. Not his parents, but they were somebody's parents.
I can understand that, where this movie could freak out children. I mean, I do understand. Definitely. Because, like I said, it's, to me, this is more real world possibility of what would happen than Resident Evil. You know, that's a very popular zombie movie thing. I can't think of any others off the top of my head.
I liked it when the president died. That's not the part I like, but just fill them in. The president died. And I thought it was kind of cool how they showed it was really quick, but they showed a shot of soldiers like carrying like the Declaration and all of the of the important documents, and they'd had them in the frames and carrying them. I was like, what?
Yeah, it's like I said, I liked the movie. I thought it was really good. Good action. And like Richard said, it's more of an action movie than it is anything else.
I liked it.
Put it in your put it in your collection.
Anybody that's a Brad Pitt fan, zombie fan, even if they're not a zombie fan and they're an action movie fan, they would still like it.
Yeah. I'm action movied out.
I'm sorry.
I'm ready for documentaries.
What? Okay. Penguins.
Yeah, penguins.
Let's you do wanna it. Watch Happy Feet?
Yep. Happy Feet too. I haven't seen that, guys.
Oh, it's not as good as the first one, but it's still okay.
Should try that one out.
This is coming from the person who was watching Superman 2?
Yes, I was watching Superman. No, it was 3.
Was 3?
What was his name?
Richard Pryor.
Yes.
Richard Pryor.
There's and he builds the supercomputer.
Let me tell you about this. There's a Disney movie coming out. It's live action. Logan figured it was live. It's live action. Okay, it's live action, and it's about the villains of the past Disney movies.
Uh-huh.
It's about their kids, and it brings in a couple of the princesses and stuff, kids too. And it's just like,
oh, by the way,
oh my god, I want to watch it.
Angelina Jolie in Sleeping Beauty.
He's got to throw it in really there twice. Yes.
They made her look like a freaked up elf from like the Lord of the Rings because she's got the pointy ears. But she's got these cheekbones that could destroy things.
Did they jack her face up?
Let me cut you with my okay.
So she's back to the movie.
I'm not kidding.
I think we all recommended it, right? But we all say definitely the PG-13 rating.
I'm liking it.
Maybe even higher than that.
It's on the upper end of PG-13.
Oh, God. Yeah.
It's like PG-14 or 15.
Yeah. Honestly, if they had a higher rating like that, it would probably be classified as that just for the short intensity. impact of the intensity of the movie. But I say get it.
Yep.
Yeah. You should have it.
It's really
good. Been out for a little while, but we wanted to kind of do it back-to-back with the book. I don't know. What other aspects could you see where
you
the book
and
the
iPad the movie cover.
Were kind of similar? Random act of the day. For
iPad background.
I'm Batman.
Look, it's a Batman.
I'm Batman. Battering. Hey, there's a Howard reference. Sorry.
Holy cows, let's wind this one up.
Really?
It's beautiful.
Go on to the music.
Whoa.
Batman.
We'll have us a short little break here for Dodge City Public Library, and we'll be right back.
Hello, and thank you for listening to Comic Pop Library. As we understand, there might be some fans of nonfiction materials in CPL land, so why not head over to www.dcpl.info and check out our podcasts. We have the nonfiction fix you've been looking for. Every month, Michael, our public service librarian, and I review a nonfiction book or other item for you to consider reading or adding to your collection. So, if you love the land of black and white informative materials, head on over and check us out. By the way, Michael thinks he's a different fictional character in every episode. No guessing what he'll be next month.
This is John Lyons from Young Lyons. You're listening to Comic Pop Library.
Oh, my love.
Back, and we just listened to Girls' Generation's single Romantic Street from their album I've Got a Boy, and we'll let April take it away with a review.
Okie dokie. You know, this is a really weird group to do right after World War Z. I kind of thought about it while we were talking about it. I'm like, huh.
No, there is a similarity.
It's so pretty.
The only thing going through my mind is, I want to eat you. Not really.
Awkward.
Just kidding.
Okay.
Awkward. Just kidding. Yeah. Awkward.
Go on, April.
All right.
No, so Matt called me a pedophile. So.
Shut up. Okay. Girls Generation is a nine-piece girl group. Oh, there's so
nine
many.
Piece.
No. Nine-piece. Nine-member.
Nine-member.
Member.
I'm going to punch
God,
someone.
There's going to be, you know what?
I'm going to punch someone. Chris is out. Okay. Anyways, they're a South Korean girl group made up of, crap if I know how to pronounce their names.
Hey, if your dad can do it for manga, you can do it for...
Oh, I couldn't. I didn't even attempt.
I can do just Japanese do the first names. Name.
A, B, C, D, E, F, G, pop.
What?
Just do the first name.
First name? That's not all of them. Whatever. I'm not going to say their names. Too many. Okay. So, South Korea, they were signed to...
You've got 30 minutes.
We need to give their names.
Richard will
That's
try
part
and pronounce
of their
your
review.
Names.
Seriously, though, I can whip out Japanese names. Like, no, but this, I get so confused.
Okay, of the ladies, we have Kim Taeyeon. We have Jessica Soyeong-jung.
She's from America.
daughter of Jim Sum-young-gai.
We have Lee Soon-kyu, which her nickname is Sunny.
She got short hair.
I could see that.
Stephanie Young Wang, which
from
is
America.
Tiffany, is what she goes by. This one only has first name, Heyo-yoin.
Not Merka.
Whoa. What was that one?
Heyo-yoin.
Heyo-yoin something.
Okay.
They
are horrible. Some of them are really hard to
pronounce. See, it confuses me.
We have Kwon Yuri.
We invite all you guys onto this podcast to tell us your...
Just tell us your name, please.
Yes.
We're so confused.
We have Shoy So-young.
Shoy. Their names are so cool.
I'm Yuna.
I'm glad you said that because I couldn't have told you how to say that one.
And this one, it looks like Seo Hyun. And that's the last one.
Matt.
And this is... That's the nine members of the K-pop group, Girls' Generation.
What were you going to say, Logan? Were you going to say something?
I thought about offering to try and see if I could pronounce them, but...
I think Richard did a bang-up job of pronouncing them, because I'd have butchered them way worse than him.
So this group, it's a K-pop group, and they were signed by SM Entertainment, which is a really, really big label.
Korean pop, right?
Even,
for K?
Yes.
Yes.
Hey, there are people out there that are new into the genre.
Stab you. And they were signed in 2007.
Watch out, I'll turn into a zombie.
Okay, so they've been around a
they've
while.
They've been around a while. And they're actually pretty popular in America. They're not on the radio, would be
Thanks
why
for
people
clearing.
Wouldn't... Shut up.
Well,
which
I
is
know,
why people wouldn't
I think
think
was
of them as popular
2012,
here.
They appeared on David Letterman and Live
yeah.
with Kelly.
Okay.
And they sung...
I got a boy.
It's a boy.
I got a boy.
Is it I Got a Boy that they
I
sung?
I got a boy. I got a boy, boy. This... Oh my gosh. But yeah, so, and I found this group because I listened to Super Junior, which is a boy band, K-pop. And so I went into their length. And I don't know, their music to me at first was a little too, like, preppy. It was too poppy.
Poppy.
It's too poppy. The pop was too poppy.
Well, they said they started out as candy pop. So it'd be like the early Britney Spears stuff, stuff like that.
Yeah. But, you know, after Dad, after we got the album, I really like it because of the diversity they have in their songs. Like, there's, like, I Got a Boy is definitely, I would say, candy pop. Candy pop? You came up with that.
That's just a term they came up with.
Candyman. Okay. You guys suck.
Why do we suck?
I'm just listening to your review. I'm being
I was trying to be funny, but you shut me up, so.
But and my personal favorite was the one you just heard, Romantic Street. And Dad likes Talk Talk.
I like all of them, but yeah, the Talk Talk is the one that I like the best.
Your Kansan accent is coming out.
Talk Talk. Talk Talk. Talk Talk. Talk Talk. Talk Talk. Talk, talk.
You say wash or wash.
Talk Talk.
Okay.
Talk Talk. I just need to compare it.
Jeez. What about a Romantic Street? Do you like it?
That is the cutest song in the world. And it has like a sort of certain like jazzy Michael Bublé feel to it or something that you can really bounce on your feet to. And it has the cutest little ending because it just ends with like love. And I'm just like, ah, love. I love it.
I always contest that with the wolf whistling song.
There's this anime
Spice and Wolf.
Yeah, Spice and Wolf. And the closing song for it is a whistle song. Or
wolf whistling song.
Yeah, and it's so cute. It's the cutest song in the world.
But, exactly.
But I do like it because they always have, it seems like, there are all those things that always have that heavy bass beat. And I love bass beats. So that's really cool. And the variety is really cool because you've got some super slow, like almost ballads couple. Mixed in there. Yeah. And then you've got some rap stuff going on. And then you've got, you know, like the cute candy pop.
True.
Adorable.
And this is, of course, for being a girl group, they do the dancing moves and everything. And
yeah, that's...
I enjoy it.
I don't watch their videos.
I watch their videos. They're all in sync. That from everything I've seen, for being able to do all those moves,
yeah,
they have good voices that blend really well together for being that many people in a group. Because with an American group, usually five people? So it's usually in a boy band, a girl band.
Well, see, that's what I don't like, is the number of people in it. Because I think when you have about five in the group, of course you're going to have the most popular, or the, you know, have them in order, like how popular are they? But everyone's going to have their fair amount of it. And I feel like the more people you get in a group, the more singled out it's going to be, and the more others become more so like backup singers kind of or something. And they do a good job of like rotating it, but I can...
I was going to say, the videos that Richard sent me to watch on YouTube, they seemed like they all kind of had their own little...
Yeah.
They all contributed to some piece of all the songs.
A main part of the song.
Yeah, but see, so, I just couldn't keep track of all of them or anything. It's just like, see, that's how I do it. With Super Junior and all that and like 2 a.m. and stuff, I get my favorites. I get them down. It's usually like a top two max. And just...
Well, that's what most people do. But still, it's to me unusual to have that many people in a group and still have that good harmony.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I really enjoy that aspect of their songs.
9 is 3 times a trio.
Ooh, moth.
So there you go.
True.
Yeah, see, and that's actually a pretty common thing when they have groups in South Korea, how they get that many people in there. Because it seems like, I don't know how much they do it for the girls because I watch more of the guys, but it seems like they try to grab stuff from all types of looks to try to get the most fan base. We're going to have this type of person for this group, this type of person for this group. We're going to have people that dance, but they sing, but they dance really well, maybe some rapping in there so that they can get the most fans as possible.
Well, one of the things I thought, and I don't know how authoritative this is because I just pulled up some stuff on Wiki.
Do you hear that echo?
Yeah, there's a slight one.
I do, yeah.
I noticed
where
that.
Where is that coming from?
Okay, go on.
We don't even care anymore. Just hold it.
You're recording, right?
Just hold it to your mouth. Just because that's what I started doing. I just held it real close.
But with what was I leading into?
I don't know
either.
You looked up on something on Wiki.
Oh, don't know how authoritative this is because it is coming from Wikipedia, but they said that with this group, and I'm assuming it's with other groups in Korea, but these companies bring these young people in and they train them
for years.
And it said that this group started out with like over 20 people and they went to training and they whittled it down to the core 9 and then they made their album. But it's in a sense, and some of them, like one of the ladies I like is Sunny, she has has the shorter hair. She was at S&M Entertainment. Then she got transferred to another company, kept training, and then somebody mentioned her for this Girls' Generation, so they transferred her back to S&M, and she started training with them, and she got the gig.
And she's probably the one of the most, or if not the most, popular.
That's what you were saying.
In the group, people really like Sunny. She's pretty cool.
And she's one that hair
that's how,
changes her completely.
That's how a lot of the boy bands were generated in America. I mean, I think, name a recent one.
You know what? You wouldn't hardly tell that was
Backstreet
the same chick.
Boys was a mixed band, but there's another one that recent boy band that's out now that is a sort of a mixed bag of singers that got put together.
Yeah, that was what we reviewed them.
What?
One Direction.
Yeah, One Direction.
Mm-hmm.
They were all individual, and then Simon and Cowell.
Because they
were
on that show. Yeah.
Thank you. That's exactly who I was thinking of.
But it's interesting. The only thing I'm not sure, and they didn't say, is during this training, do they get paid for it? Never said anything about that. But if so, that would be nice. They can get, you know, further training, get paid, and then get another job to help support themselves. But
they probably didn't get paid until the record company got paid.
Probably,
I don't know how it works. But still, it's the companies are, our companies are looking for people that they can just grab and put out there.
Really?
No
fast.
Training. Where in Korea, they're bringing them in.
They're
well, now we've got The Voice. America's Got Talent.
I feel
talent.
Like
so
Korea's...
A
bunch of them like
now,
that.
Now we're pulling
yeah,
people.
Yeah, Korea's way does make a good bit of sense.
I feel like Korea's way is more harsh, more industry, more business than it is here. I mean, yeah,
well,
we have our...
with America's Got Talent, you don't have to pay your talent before they're... Or before you know if they've got that voice to
money.
Make it big.
I just feel like they're so analytical and like so numbers. Like, I don't know how to describe it.
I kind of understand what you're saying. They're more strict in what they're doing, and I'm sure they are, but at least they take the time to train
work
a person.
It. And see, I don't really know how to feel about that because, I don't know, I kind of don't like that whole idea of molding it into what it should. I like the rawness of some of the artists. Like, my genre, I tend to lean towards the rough music.
I like anything with a good heavy bass, and I like the pop. I've admitted before I love
the more
pop, so.
Real it feels, the better, the more I like him, usually.
And then there's one gal, Jessica. I have to say, I have to give her some kudos because evidently she likes Batman.
What? Batman? That's my favorite superhero of all time.
I'm Batman.
I love Batman.
Oh, yeah. She had the
Batman t-shirt.
Let me see.
On one of the videos.
Batman. Yeah, I saw that.
And I got a boy.
I hope she actually does like Batman. Because if not... That ain't cool. But that's really cool if you do. I actually like them. And I do have to point out their second song on the album is called A Dancing Queen, and it's actually a remix of Duffy's Mercy that came out like, you know me, baby.
Oh, it's not like
Mercy.
ABBA's Dancing Queen?
No.
Seriously, yeah. When I first saw Dancing Queen, I thought Mamma Mia.
the video,
my
you
ABBA.
Could.
But yeah, I noticed that, like, because when we got it, I popped this into the player and started playing it, and the second it hit a certain part of that second, I was like, oh, I know this song. But it wasn't the song. I got confused.
So when I listened to them, they're good. I wish it was in English.
I like their videos. Their videos are fun to watch.
I like listening to music in other languages. I listen to Rammstein. I kind of like the hard, sort of metal rock. And even though their translation is stupid, their music is cool.
Yeah.
Well, I said before.
You probably don't want to know the translation of what these girls are saying.
Well, I said before when we talked with Ray, to me, the Japanese language is just lyrical with the music in the same way with the Korean music. The Asian language in general, wherever it's from, it just flows with music. If you get somebody pissed off and they're yelling at you, it's a completely different thing. You're like,
it could change the song completely to make the rhyme.
True. But to me, I like the flow because I don't care if I know the translation or not. Because to me, the voice is just another instrument, and I like listening to it.
And you kind of get the feel of what the song's about from just the instrument, just the feeling you get from it in general and the title and stuff. So I don't need the details completely.
Oh, don't get me wrong. They sounded great.
Yeah.
You know, to me, foreign language music is just not my cup of tea.
Yeah.
But, yeah, I liked them. Now, the question is, I take it you can't get the CD in the U.S.?
No, I don't.
You can get it off Amazon.
Oh, okay.
They're a little bit more expensive because of the import fees. This one was...
Don't ask me.
I think this one was around 25
That's not bad.
Dollars.
For a single CD with only 10 songs on it?
Have you seen Walmart?
So it is a little bit more expensive. This would be one, though, that I think if you slip it into a collection, slip it into a pop collection, market it as a pop more than a foreign.
Yeah, you make it more people to check it out.
Foreign.
It's not a foreign.
Thought he said foreign.
Foreign.
He said foreign.
Hey, accents getting Kansan. Us in trouble foreign. Again.
It's a foreign. No, and I like.
Never mind.
I like the
foreign.
Foreign. And I like the mix of English words they put into it, and a lot of it's because they don't have a word.
Yeah, I think there's just no translation for that word.
And there's another one I want to point
out.
Can't
take it into context, can you?
There's this song. They have
saying garbage and then English word.
Yeah.
And then more garbage. Then English word.
I recognize it. There's a song on there at number 6, I think. It's called Express 999. That sounds a lot like Michael Jackson and stuff. But it's actually
So it's very close to American pop.
Yeah, but it's the song itself is a reference to an anime called Galaxy Express 999, which I think is really cool because it's anime.
And I think their fourth or fifth album. Something around there, but their previous album you can actually get in English if you want.
Yeah, I think you said that.
And they do have a girl's version of this. They have an English version of I Got a Boy because I heard it once, but I didn't like it.
Okay, interesting.
Yeah, so but you can look that up.
Again, I said I'd take another way. They sounded good.
Yeah.
It was cool.
They're it's all just not beautiful my young women as well.
Yeah, they're all what?
Mid-20s.
Mid-20s, early 20s.
Yeah.
Something like that. So they're fairly young. But have they been doing this for
since
about 2008?
Seven years.
So they would have been right at, 18-ish when they all started.
Yeah. And this is one, like April said, they have a larger American following than what I thought, because I think I clicked on to the Kelly interview on YouTube that somebody put up, and they showed the line outside and all the people inside, and the bulk of them were there for the girls' generation.
Mm-hmm.
And they had a line going out in the street,
a
block long almost. And in New York, that's a block.
I don't even know what a block is in our town. What is it? Tell me what a block is. What's a block?
It's city block is about between a mile. Two
streets.
Main type-ish streets squared.
Squared?
Yes, because it's a square
sectioned.
Shape.
Okay.
Not a line.
Chris looks like he wants to say something.
The surveyor's going to
yes,
come
Chris.
Out
length, time, distance, times.
Stop. Stop. Confused.
Divided by pi r squared. Come on, Chris. You could have kept that going, Chris. So
the power of height.
The power of height.
Well, I think the anime fans would like this.
Yeah.
For sure, but I would. For larger libraries, I would say pick this up, but middle-sized libraries,
yeah, probably.
Wait a minute.
Maybe not.
I just realized something. We have an ex-surveyor in the room, and he can't answer how long a city block is.
I told you the surveyor was going to come out at me, but I didn't answer the question because I didn't want to bore you with the details of actually what a block entails, but that's okay. I'll explain it after the podcast, April.
Well, we've got...
We could use more Jeopardy knowledge. Go ahead.
The way... our area set up in town is we've got this park and it's our street and then it goes on for I guess a lot of blocks till it gets to the last street before it gets out to country. Okay,
I'll explain it when
and
we get
and I always thought
because it'll be a long boring
I always thought that the block was our street to that very last street so because we have friends on that street so I thought that was a block.
We have a long block. Yes, okay.
Apparently it's not. Anyway,
there are different sizes.
Well,
I call them Legos.
I'm not good at
super blocks.
Any type of geography, so, I ain't good at.
That's all right. But yeah, back to the review here.
What do you think?
Yeah, I would say pick it up. Pretty
larger.
If
library,
you've got teenage girls, like tween girls, I think if they gave it a chance, they would really like it just because of the beat and the candiness of it. Gosh, it's like
Candyman.
Someone's
like
gonna
Richard
get high
said,
before
you,
this.
If you had, if you have a large, I guess tweens, especially tween girls that are into the anime or even the manga books, they would probably enjoy.
Really? Well, I don't think they even have to be into the anime, really.
Just let them listen to
I think so.
Yeah,
because
a lot of the time, if you
show a boy
sit
the video,
people down
right.
and give them a chance to actually listen to the music, they usually like it. That's how I end up like, stop looking at your fish, Chris. They're just swimming. That's what they've been doing for all their lives.
Some of them are just sitting there.
Well, they have teleported. They don't.
Teleport. Your ADD is worse than a freaking puppy dog with me. Five different colored balls.
You should see me. Okay.
What's mine?
When I, my dog? You know how you always get this song stuck in your head sometimes? Mine's not a song. Mine's like a bit of a song. It goes into another song. All of a sudden, it sounds like another song. Got to sing that song. And then it goes back to the original song, branches off to a whole other song. It's completely random.
All I heard was sorry,
I didn't know if I'd have to hand out to show you guys across the way.
Just let me see. Flip it around. Oh, it's
what?
It's the same girl. But you can see how a hairstyle can change her appearance drastically.
Let me see.
It's
let me
sunny.
See.
Yeah, I
did you see Taylor Swift at the Grammys?
No,
she looked sunny. Old.
Taylor, you got bags.
She's had this blonde bang, long blonde hair, she sort of different. Look that made her look like a teenager. She did not look like that at the Grammys. Actually, but the thing, I would have appreciated it a lot more if she didn't start headbanging on a country song, and it was her own song.
Oh, I don't like her. She's okay. Liking that.
I think we need to wrap this up.
Awkward
because we're swinging.
Yeah. Okay.
Way
I would say
out in field.
Pick it up. For the most part, I'd pick it up unless you just have an abnormal amount of shut up. Unless you have an abnormal amount of non-existent tween girls. I mean, like I would hope you do.
Market it as a pop. I say.
Yeah.
I think you'll get more mileage out of it.
And then they'll be disappointed when they can't understand a lyric.
I don't think so.
Why are you such a pessimist today?
I think they would get the beat of it.
It needs
be good enough.
Well, mm-hmm. For me, it needs to be marketed as K-pop, even though it's...
K-pop is a sub-genre.
It is a sub-genre, but people need to understand genre. That they're not in English.
So put it in pop K-pop. Pop K-pop. Pop.
Rice Krispies.
All right. Let's land the plane.
Yep, I think we kind of...
Before
it
crashes and burns.
And WWZ.
I think we've already done that, Matt. You're just a survivor.
Now we're just running around on fire.
I'm a World War Z survivor.
Oh, God. All right. And with that, I say we have some... I recommend it. April recommends it. Chris, he's kind of on the fence. I think Matt
Chris
says
hates
he's...
it. Don't listen
I said
to Chris.
It would be good.
He's a pessimist. Chris. But,
not in country music land.
Chris, I have an important question. Do you believe in unicorns?
Yes.
Oh...
They breathe fire and shit rainbows.
They don't breathe fire. They don't breathe fire.
Oh, God.
They don't breathe fire. Jeez, time
okay,
clock.
Okay, land a plane.
Anyway,
crash
we're going to, before we leave out, we got another comment from Nathan on one of the posts from the website on Facebook. If you go there and like us, you'll get all of our posts into your Facebook link, so be sure to do that. Basically, we put a post up there that Marvel and Madhouse are doing another animated feature called Avengers Confidential. Yeah, I can't talk. Avengers Confidential, Black Widow and Punisher, to be released sometime around March 25th. And I was kind of like, this is one for your animation collections, whether it's a private or a library, you'll want to pick this one up. And Nathan replied back. He said he really enjoyed what they've been doing with these animated feature films. The artistry is beautiful and the storylines have been solid. I have to say, though, that I wish that they could find a way to make them family appropriate with the language. For some reason, I'm okay with anime violence, but foul language is eminently more repeatable, which I agree. That is true. But my response, and we can discuss it a little bit here, back to him was, I kind of see the features as being for the older generations, for the adults that grew up reading the comics, and the TV series kind of more for the kids, even though some of the TV series are a little bit...
I never really liked...
Some are young, some are in tweens, they're kind of all over the place, but that's how I've differentiated the features and TV series, and of course I mentioned with my kids, they grew up faster with what they were reading, so I was a little bit more liberal.
I've never really liked American animated stuff, like the Marvel stuff and all that, DC. No.
You don't?
No.
What about the Madhouse stuff? It's from a Japanese studio.
What?
Like the Iron Man we watched last, that was from an anime studio.
Superheroes animated, I'm not enjoying.
Really?
Yeah. I don't like it.
I enjoy most of them. There's been a few that's been lackluster, but most of them I've enjoyed. Like the last one we watched was Dark Knight Returns, Part 1 and Part 2, and it was really good.
It's a whole nother review. Let's go.
Say that again, Logan.
It answered the Superman versus Batman question.
Batman, hello.
Yep.
Or Spider-Man, what? Plot twist.
You know what my son asked me the other night?
He got some kryptonite. He's done.
No, it was a good discussion. He said if I put all the superheroes from DC Comics and all the Marvel heroes into one room,
yes,
and said fight to the death.
Yes.
He said, who would win? And I said, Thor,
Batman.
Because he's a god.
Batman.
Nope, Thor's a demigod. Thor, he can be killed.
Batman.
But Wolverine and Deadpool.
Batman.
Yeah.
Batman.
Because technically they can't die.
Batman.
But Wolverine with his antimantium claws or his bone claws?
Daredevil could put up a good fight.
Either. He can't die.
Because you can screw up his memory for sure.
Yes.
Yeah.
You can kill who he is.
You can do brain death.
Yes, but
that would work.
Technically.
Make him forget how to breathe. Maybe that'll stick.
Okay, anyway.
But yeah. I don't know if you guys feel this.
Oh my gosh.
I don't know if you guys feel the same way about the features and the TV shows.
Features are a little more gory.
What?
Well,
what are we talking
gory.
About?
Not gory.
Not gory. Language. I knew what I meant.
What features?
They're more animated mature. Ones. Mature storylines.
Yeah.
That was Shimmer, by the way.
Ooh, Shimmer.
So, and I think that's intentionally done.
I think so too. So. Yeah. All right.
I was disappointed with the Wolverine.
I haven't seen it yet.
We'll go. Land the plane.
Here we go.
Land the plane.
But if
we've been saying land the plane for 5 minutes.
I know. Land the plane.
But if you're interested in seeing us, like Nathan. Okay, if you're interested in sending us a comment like Nathan through Facebook, you're more than welcome to like us, like I said, and you'll get our feeds from the website as well as when the podcasts are downloaded, and we'll read them on one of the recordings, and you can also contact us by our email at admin@comicpoplibrary.com. Just questions, recommendations, corrections.
Yeah, we screw up all the time. Don't worry about it.
If we missed something or you see it a different way,
tell
let
us
know and we'll discuss it and see how, you know, everybody sees some things differently. And we'd be glad to have you do that with us and communicate. Okay, we've been enjoying, I think, Greg and Nathan. Like to get more people involved. Glad to have them being involved with us, so we appreciate both of them.
What?
No, you're supposed to go, Baba, whatever.
No,
you
good.
Let's land a plane. I'll say bye. Before I go. Okay, that one's gone.
All right, everybody. We're having fun here. We hope you're having fun out there. We'll
bye.
See you the next time around.
Say bye.
Bye.
Say bye.
Bye.
Bye. Bye. Cry. Bye. That was good.
Thank you for listening to Comic Pop Library. We welcome your comments and suggestions by emailing us at admin@comicpoplibrary.com. All emails submitted become the property of Comic Pop Library and are subject for use in our show. We would also appreciate it if you would spread the word about Comic Pop Library by posting about us on Twitter, Facebook, or just tell someone about us. This podcast is not endorsed by any publisher, distributor, or studio, and it is intended for entertainment and information purposes only. The views and comments of the show hosts are their own and are not reflective in any business, entity, or organization associated with ComicPopLibrary.com.